All right, sir, are you coming down? Are you coming down for the big unranked battle between two teams that have a combined 7-game winning streak?
So I just want you to know how committed I am, Adam. I got off, you know, a little bit of a vacation, coming back from 85 degrees in the Bahamas.
Right.
I am as dark as pavement right now, loving every second of it. And you know, I come back to 5 inches of snow here in, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, only to, I am coming on Friday. I am on a plane. And for me, this is very personal. Very personal.
Right.
Because the last two times I've watched a college basketball game in live with my team has been when we've lost to Carolina. One with Coach K's last game in Cameron, and then at the Final Four. So, oh, I watched their entire game last night. I watched. I took notes. I give them a lot of credit, RJ, for how he finished things down the stretch. But I am coming into Chapel Hill for a victory. Like, I am coming to sweep the Tar Heels and to end their season this year, and I am typically objective, Adam, but not Friday, not Saturday, not this weekend. You will not see an objective man. You will not see a man who is reasonable or looking at things thoroughly down the line. You're looking at a man who is in search of revenge and wants to see pain inflicted, and this is just the first step.
All right, but did I detect that you said that ending Carolina's season, meaning that you believe that they need to win this game in order to keep their hopes of an NCAA tournament at-large bid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And them getting a win at Florida State was a big win for them last night. You know, not losing that lead. And obviously, RJ, I think, playing Mickey, he just makes such big shots down the stretch, man. And Caleb Love, like, when they don't turn the ball over, they're better players, especially when Armando Bacot has 1 point.
Yeah.
So I think that was a significant win. But I think if they don't win out the regular season and then get one in the tournament, I think they'll be on the outside looking in. So, yes, I am tapping my former team to be the team that ends their run.
All right.
The team that made it to the national championship game last
year. All right. Yeah. If that's the case, then that's the case. I think differently. I actually think that they'll be fine even if they lose on Saturday night. I actually think that they'll get in the field. They might have to go to Dayton and play, I don't know, Missouri State or whoever would be matched up with them in Dayton. But I think at the very least, they would be there. Jay Williams is joining us here. Jay,
I never liked your opinion, but go on. Continue, please.
Maybe I'm just a little bit more optimistic because, and you know this, you played in an ACC that was loaded top to bottom just about every year. And what I can't figure out is why, no matter how many times the Atlantic Coast Conference runs March, no matter how many times, I keep hearing, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, it's not indicative. I'm like, yeah, but all the time? Doesn't all the time matter?
I would agree with you on that, and I have nothing to say on that one. We are in complete alignment.
I just, it, like last year, what we could, I know, it wasn't a great regular season last year. And then Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. We had four of the final 16 teams, three of the final eight, two of the final four. And was that a fluke? I don't know. I just say it's the ACC doing what the ACC does. And why doesn't the ACC get the same respect in basketball that the SEC gets in football? Nobody cares who the SEC plays in the non-conference. Oh, they play an SEC schedule.
You know what it is, Adam? I think, frankly, I see it on the media side, too. And I'm not saying it's the media's fault, but there is, you know, some room for it, because frankly, I think what's happened is, you know, now with the revolving door so much with one and dones and with transfer portals and with, you know, all these new leagues, right? It's hard to keep up with the kids as much,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless you're an older team. That's, you see teams like Pitt or teams like Clemson that got old quick through the transfer portal. And so a lot of times the media will like pin themselves on like the coaches, right? It's like Coach K got a lot of that. Rory Williams got a lot of that. We're seeing those type, and I think not having like having a lot of newer coaches, there feels like there is, this school still has an identity, but like the coaches behind those identities have made a transition. It doesn't feel like those coaches, the media have gotten behind enough to sell as it relates to the ACC, whereas it feels like you have Bill Self, you have a little bit more of the staples in the Big 12, and maybe that's due to some of the reasoning as well.
That's true. By the way, I think Duke has two more wins if Coach K's on the bench, because there's no way they get out of the state of Virginia without Kyle Filipowski on the free throw line in both games, the one at Virginia Tech and the one at Virginia. I'm not saying that would be right. I'm just saying that there's an intimidation factor that John Shire has not yet risen to. And maybe he's too polite. Maybe he's just too nice. Maybe he's too handsome. Is that possible? Can you be too handsome?
No, I have always called him a young Brad Stevens. I mean, I've always joked around that. But here's what I will say in defense of John. I mean, doing radio or doing TV for X amount of years, it's one thing. It's really hard. Being the main person hosting the show or driving the show is a completely different weight or responsibility. And I do think that this being his first year, getting your sea legs and understanding there's a learning curve that comes along with it. You know, if we were critiquing Coach K, if opposites were reversed, Coach K didn't do that great his first couple of years. It was a legit challenge. And I get now having top recruits, but still learning the nuances of the game and when to pick your spots. And that personality still has to transform into a head coaching personality. And I think that doesn't happen overnight.
Jay Williams is joining us here. All right. So you're going to be, are you hanging out beyond the weekend, or are you flying back to Connecticut when it's all over?
Oh, no, I'm coming in Friday and I'm staying until Sunday.
All right, cool. Good. Well, maybe there will be a meetup. Let me ask you about the NBA. And we say this knowing that LeBron James is going to be out for, I guess, several weeks with a foot injury. That was a tough thing to see last night. Could you right now pick a team in the West with confidence that is going to reach the NBA Finals?
Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, see, why is that always elicit that kind of response?
Because they haven't gotten that far yet. They haven't done it. And I love Jokic.
You're skeptical.
I am very skeptical. I'm skeptical of that team putting it together for whatever reason. Jokic is amazing. I don't have any confidence in the rest of that team. I think my pick is Phoenix. If Durant can stay on the court.
I will only challenge you by saying, how do you even know what Phoenix is?
I don't
know what they even look like. Nobody's even ever seen them play. And I get to what things look like on paper with Phoenix. And I love KD and Devin Booker and CP3. We'll see injuries on that team, how they handle that as well. But I go back to this because I think Denver's one of those teams. Coach Mike Malone the other day was like, "Yeah, you're not going to hear a lot about Jokic because he's not, you know, a superior athlete." I'm like, "Well, actually, he is. It's just not a Derrick Rose type of athlete." And actually, Aaron Gordon has had an incredible year where he's actually owned his spot. Actually, Michael Porter Jr. played extremely well versus the Clippers the other night. Actually, Jamal Murray's playing at a high level. They let go of Bones Highland and they got some other pieces and Thomas Bryant, who gives them depth at that position. They are top to bottom, to me, the most complete team in the Western Conference. It may not have the same appeal that Kevin Durant will bring, or like a Kawhi Leonard, you jump on the Clippers bandwagon, or what's going on with Memphis, because they don't do things as sexy. It's not made as attractive, but top to bottom, man, I think they're the most complete team in the West that just gets overlooked.
Are the Mavericks look, I love Jokic. Jokic's box scores make me laugh every single day. Are the Mavericks just going through a transition period, learning how to incorporate Kyrie into the system, or are they in a little bit of a are they in trouble a little bit?
I'm not going to say. Look, the pressure is on. You have barely 20 games left. Throughout the course of the regular season, it's a lot to ask for anybody just to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. There's going to be learning curves. Even if we get to the playoffs, I mean, that's a whole other dynamic, right? Like, who gets the ball down the stretch? Like, roles aren't really established over a 20-game period. That typically happens over the course of a season. So I think these are big adjustments and challenges in front of the Dallas Mavericks. And everything's going to be criticized at a pretty high level because you had to figure this out yesterday, right? But look, I still rather have the problem having two dynamic guards and figuring out how they can share the ball down the stretch with other role players and getting guys healthy. I still rather have that problem than not have it, because at the end of the day, you still have two prolific guys that can take over a game whenever they want, and you still have some pretty stable pieces around them. Maybe not as great defensively, but from spacing the floor and outscoring teams, they can score with anybody in the world.
Yeah, and I thought that at least when Kyrie was playing with LeBron, he had developed into a good catch-and-shoot shooter, that he didn't have to have the ball to be effective. He could play off the ball. I haven't seen enough of the Mavericks to know right now how they're doing it, but Kyrie can certainly play away from the ball and still be an effective player. Are you buying the New York Knicks' recent surge as a contender in the East?
I lost you on that last part.
When I said as a contender in the East, you...
I'm sorry. You're breaking up, Adam. It must be a horrible cell phone coverage here. How are we looking at a contender in the
East? I'm just kidding. It's still the Knicks. They'll figure out...
Six games in a row, I kind of laughed at this. There was a video online of when Jalen Brunson found out that before the trade deadline they were getting Josh Hart.
I saw it.
And he looked so excited, right? And I got excited for him because I was like, you know, very similar to how we see it in the NFL. I think at times we take for granted relationships and accountability and expectations. And we saw that with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, right? That wide receiver quarterback continuity and relationship, and how that's translated into the league. And for me, like, that's what Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart have. Like, they know what to expect from each other every single night. That's not a common
right
in today's professional sports leagues. It's not. Especially when you're in the young team. So I like the core of what they're building. I think they are a blue-collar team that is overachieving, which is great. They should. It still makes me wonder, though, that what this backcourt could have been if they had had Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Because I still think the Knicks are looking at themselves saying, yeah, we thought we were going to be all in on R.J. Barrett. But at the end of the day, when you can only drive and finish one way, your game doesn't have a lot of that shot-making ability around it. I'm not sure they're going to look at that commitment to RJ being that's the commitment that's going to change our future. When I think they missed the window on Donovan Mitchell. So I think they're a mid-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team that is playing extremely well. But I think they will always be there until they find that next iteration of themselves.
So is it the Celtics and the Bucks, or do you throw somebody else in there?
I put Philly in there. I think there's some questions around Giannis right now and the hand injury. Yeah. And bumping the knee the other night. I think it opens the window for Philly. I think teams like Miami will always be hard to get through. But at the end of the day, I think it's those three teams. And I think it's Philly and Boston if Giannis is having issues. But in reality, if Milwaukee is healthy, meaning Giannis is healthy, I think it's Milwaukee and the Celtics.
If it's if it comes down to Philly and Boston's going to take me back to fourth grade when I used to hang out on the playground pretending that I was either Bird or wasn't Barkley. It was like it was Julius Erving. I was a Dr. J guy as a kid growing up. That's way before your time. I'm so much older than you.
But, Adam, I'm with you. I mean, come on, I watch Dr. J all the time. It does lead me to the question around Joel Embiid that I've started to find myself asking. Can you win an NBA championship with your big being your best player? Right now, like, when I say bigs, I talk about people that can't initiate the offense. Like,
right.
I don't look at Giannis as a big. I don't look at Jokic as a big because Jokic can get those polo rebounds, keep them in one hand, initiates the offense, like leads the team in assists.
Yeah.
Different, right? Whereas a guy like Joel Embiid, I'm like, can he be your best player? Do you need like a James Harden to be that guy or answer in those clutch moments? And that's a big question. I do believe if Philly gets knocked out again early this season, like I don't think Doc Rivers will be the coach. But before, I think you'll hear stuff around Ime Udoka. And I also think you'll be seeing sparks of whether Joel Embiid wants to stay in Philly long term or not, or wants to go somewhere else and play with a guy like a Dame Lillard or someone like a Bradley Beal and increase his odds of winning a chip.
You are 100%, I think, accurate on that. Jay Williams, I'll see you hopefully this weekend, man. Good luck. Wear protective gear to the Smith Center. I'm kidding. They're not going to throw anything at you. They're not going to throw anything at you.
They might, but if they do, that means we won the game, and that means I'm happy.
All right. Best to you and your family. Best to everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
Jay's fired up for the game. That's all that's important.
He's so excited.
He is very excited. Now, I said earlier that I will reserve judgment. I will not make a pick until we watch Duke and State tonight. And I'm not even sure that is going to influence. Like, if Duke wins, I'm not even sure that it's going to make me pick Duke.
Yeah.
Carolina is shooting the ball very well. That's a big deal. Can they keep it up for another game? We'll see. I am looking forward to DJ Burns versus Derek Lively tonight.
Oh, boy. That'll be fun.
Absolutely.